There are many themes in Scripture tied to a specific object. One such theme is Christ, and the object being the branch, or some variation of branch. Today marks the beginning of a series that focuses on Christ as the branch that is raised up for us. And related to this theme is our need then to bear fruit in various ways. Each message will have a key verse related to Christ, our branch, and then applies that verse to how we should grow in our faith as plantings of the Lord. Hopefully you're catching on to the the theme here with the agricultural and plant terms. Now the key word, or rather the key verse for today is from Jeremiah. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up. That's Jeremiah 33:15. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up. I've fallen and I can't get up. Now that famous line comes from a series of television commercials, remember? That featured this emergency alert system for the elderly. All you have to do is press a button and it would request help. I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, that sentence not only applies to anyone who has been infirmed and in a difficult medical situation, but the sentence actually describes all of us and all of creation. We have fallen and we can't get up. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That too is a well-known sentence, although it is a bit older than the previous one. By his word, God called the world and the entire universe into existence. He separated light from darkness, made the sky and the sun and the stars. He parted the waters and caused the dry land to appear. He raised up plants and trees. And then after he created humanity in his own image, God planted a garden where Adam and Eve could live and work. And in that garden, God planted all sorts of trees filled with fruit. And in the center of that garden, he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve could eat of any tree in the garden except that one. Disobedience to God's command would bring death. Now, this story is widely known. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and Satan, symbolized by the deceptive snake or serpent, told Eve to take and eat of the forbidden fruit. She did, Adam did, and humanity fell from grace. All right. But what exactly was the forbidden fruit? Was it an apple? Well, no. There's no mention of an apple. In fact, no mention of what specific fruit it is at all. We don't know. Well, what could it be? Was it something other than literal food? Yes. Was it sex, as many medieval teachers thought? No. God's already said sex is very good and told them to be fruitful and multiply. Well, was it disobedience? That's actually closer to the mark. They did disobey. And because of that, sin and death entered the world. But there's something more here than just disobedience. What is the forbidden fruit? Now, they wanted the knowledge of good and evil. But someone might ask, well, didn't they already know that? Yes, they did know that. But their source for knowing that was God. What we have to understand is God did not keep the knowledge of good and evil from them. God kept the knowledge of good and evil for them. The original sin was not simply disobedience, but the desire to be like God, to choose for themselves what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. So in a sense, the snake did not so much deceive them as he exploited a self-deception that was already present, that had sprung up between them. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. In other words, they believed they could do just as good a job as God. They could do just as good a job. In fact, they could do even a better job than God in determining what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. But as it turned out, they could not. Consequently, truth became stained with sin and lies, goodness corrupted with evil, beauty with hatred. Take and eat, says the serpent. You don't need God. It was a lie. And when we fall for the lie, we fall from our relationships. Our relationship with nature, cursed. Our relationship to each other, cursed. Our relationship to God, cursed. And this self-deception continues to plague humanity to this day. We have fallen, and we can't get up. But God did not leave his creation without hope. God did not leave us without hope. As in the beginning, God raised up his creation by his word, he would one day, by his word, raise up his fallen creation. He promised a savior who would someday come and crush the tempting serpent and destroy his power. Again and again, God repeated this promise, the promise of hope to the people of Israel. He spoke through the prophets. God would send a child, a son born of a virgin. The one to come would be the hope of Israel and the light of the Gentiles. He would be a suffering servant, an innocent lamb led to slaughter for the sins of the world. He would be born into the tribe of Judah, born into the royal house of King David. That royal line of David, though, was cut off after Israel was invaded and conquered by other nations. But God repeated his promise. He would cause a righteous branch to spring up from David's fallen family tree. This branch of David's line would rule with justice and righteousness. God's people would be saved. They would dwell securely, ruled by the power and justice of the righteous branch. The royal house had fallen, but God would save his people. From among God's people of Israel would come the righteous branch, the anointed one, one who would bring salvation to the fallen world. What had fallen would be raised up. So, at the right time, the promised child, the Word made flesh, and the fulfillment of the promise named in Eden was raised up. God himself came to live among his people, to walk again on his created earth, and did so in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the righteous branch of the house of David. He was raised up for the very purpose of being cut down for us. The righteous branch was lifted up on a cross where he died, suffering the penalty of death that we deserve for our sins. He was cut down by death to raise up what was fallen in us. In order to grow to new life, a seed must be buried in the earth. And like that seed, Jesus was the crucified Savior, and he was buried, sealed, buried in a sealed tomb, a guarded tomb. But like a new plant that springs to life from the buried seed, the righteous branch of the house of David sprang to life again. What had fallen was raised up. We are fallen in sin, and we are unable to save ourselves. But the Holy Spirit calls us, through the Word, the good news of the life and salvation of Jesus. We turn from our sins and place our trust in Jesus, the righteous branch of the house of David. We receive forgiveness. We receive the gift of eternal life. Just as Jesus was raised to life, we are raised every day in his name. And one day, just as Jesus was raised from death, we too will be raised from our graves to live in God's presence, to enjoy God forever. By faith, we live now in his forgiveness, and we are to bear fruit. What sort of fruit? The fruit of love and service to others, in Jesus' name. We had fallen, but we have been raised